That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
Christy went to Chicago.
Yeah.
How was Chicago?
It was great. I didn't get haunted once, though, which I thought in a city that big.
That your chances would be pretty good, right?
Yeah, we never picked up any hitchhikers, though. That's
really smart. Please don't ever do that.
True. Yeah.
Ever.
I don't think I will. I hope.
I hope. Why would you ever?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, like, why, if you were driving, who would it have to be? Like, who would they have to look like? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're right. I don't think I would.
Like a sad old woman in the rain or something? You're like,
no, you're definitely going to get murdered then.
Murdered, that's, and haunted, probably.
That's trying way too hard. That's obviously some kind of, like, ancient demigod trusting, like, trying to test your kindness. Like, you ought to pick them up, but, like, it's 50-50 whether or not they're waiting for you to pick them up so that they wouldn't curse you, or 50-50, like, they're going to kill you now.
That's too hard.
I know.
If you don't pick them up, you're getting cursed.
Well.
Well.
Well, I mean, some
we don't make the rules.
Some things are like just real sticklers for hospitality, you know.
I guess some weird demons, ghosts, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But also, don't tell them that they can come into your car.
No,
just stop by and see if they can get in themselves.
What the fuck? This is scary. I feel like we're describing a scary movie or something.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because there's all these stories about like things where, like, if you turn away somebody, then, like, you get cursed and, like, bad shit happens to you. But if you let them in your house and feed them something, then they're like, oh, thanks. I was going to murder you for being awful, but now I'm going to give you one wish. And then
just one wish.
Like, the other half of stories are like, don't you fucking tell things that they can come into your house.
No, don't you dare.
Those, like, black-eyed children, they're going to get you if you let them in.
If you've learned anything from this podcast, don't let anyone into your house or your vehicle or your life, really. That was dark. I'm sorry.
I loved it.
Yes.
And also it was true.
It is. Be cautious, people. Cautious. So obviously this is That's Weird.
Yeah.
The weirdest of podcasts.
Here we are.
Mainly because of us. We're just fucking weirdos.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about it.
Sorry about it. Yeah. Thanks for listening to us. I couldn't believe we got, I think, like, July, I was telling you, was like our best month ever for the podcast. We had so many listeners.
Oh yeah.
So that's really awesome. Thank you. And whoever it is that lives, where was it? That was like, was such a bizarre location. Oh, someone in Ireland really likes us.
Oh yeah. That's like our third most popular place, which is crazy.
Yeah. If you ever want us to come visit you, just let us know. We'll happily go to Ireland.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be like haunted stuff in Ireland.
There's probably a shit ton of haunted stuff there.
Oh, yeah. We'll go. We're here for it.
I would fucking love to go there. But yeah, anyway, thanks for listening to our weird ass podcast. And if you feel like it, you could rate, review, and or subscribe on the old iTunes. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So this is episode 34.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk about the Montauk Monster.
The Montauk Monster?
Yeah.
Wow, that's not what you said you were going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So what was it? It was like not the...
something about something nine.
Hold on, let me look at my text here because I already forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I asked Christy earlier. I was like, is the Council of Nine and the Order of Nine the same thing? And I guess they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Council of Nine, which you've already talked about, was like... aliens and stuff.
That was the aliens. And the other one is like Satanists?
But like real, because most Satanists are chill as fuck. I love Satanists. Mm-hmm. But these are like really bad Satanists that are also kind of like neo-Nazis.
Oh.
And they love human sacrifice.
They're the satanic panic people.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I started to read about it. And then I was like, once I got to the neo-Nazi part, I was like, I'm not talking about this. I'm good.
Nazis ruin everything.
They really do. And I have to read about them enough these days.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitter. So I'm good.
We're good.
I'm good. So instead, I'm going to talk about the adorable Montauk Monster.
This sounds great.
So in the summer of 2008, a group of friends were walking down the Ditch Plains Beach outside of Montauk, New York, when they noticed something really weird looking on the sand. It was a strange looking creature, and it was dead.
Oh no.
You've definitely seen this, like in the news or whatever.
Probably. I mean, maybe. Who knows?
It doesn't ring any bells, really?
No.
Okay.
I never know what you're talking about. And you're like, everyone knows this. It's gotta be. It's such a cliche. Here it is. And I'm like, I don't know. I've never heard of this.
The truth is, if I know about it, suddenly I think everyone knows about it.
Also, I don't know a lot of things.
Yes, you do. Oh my gosh. We learn something new every time we do this podcast, which is kind of my favorite part, is because...
Because you love to learn.
You know what? I just really love to learn. I want to expand my mind.
Wow. Expand my mind, please. Tell me about the Montauk Monster.
So this dead creature on the sand, on the beach, whatever. It had a tail and a beak. It had blotchy skin and no fur whatsoever. They had no idea what it was. They'd never seen it before. And it only took a couple of hours before the beach was filled with onlookers and news outlets trying to get a shot of this weird creature, animal, or whatever it was. Some people thought that it looked like a raccoon or maybe a deformed cat, but no one could be sure.
What?
Which, by the way, since when did either of those creatures have fucking beaks?
Never.
Exactly.
Literally never.
What the hell? So yeah, no one knew where the carcass came from. It just appeared on the beach one morning, probably by washing up out of the ocean. And
that's usually how carcasses end up on the beach.
Exactly, yeah. There's all sorts of creepy shit in the ocean, so makes sense to me.
True.
And just as soon as it appeared, it mysteriously disappeared. And therefore, scientists couldn't collect it, and they couldn't conduct tests to find out exactly what it was.
What?
How convenient that it just fucking disappeared. Oh, did you Google
it? No, I Googled it. What is it?
You've never seen that creature before?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's so gross. If you're listening, feel free to Google it. Or by the time that you're listening to this, I should have a picture of it up at thatsweird.org.
What the fuck is this?
It's so creepy. So cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman was the first to call it the Montauk Monster, obviously named after... where it was found. The name caught on super quick. The creature seemed to become an urban legend overnight. Oh, and by the way, Lauren Coleman, have you heard of that guy? He's like a really famous cryptozoologist. He has the coolest shop ever. It's the Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine. I went there a few years back and there was like Sasquatch footprint casts that you could look at, and like an actual Bigfoot that you could like stand, well, not an actual, you know what I mean?
Like a model.
Yeah, that you could pose with. And they had all this like Monster Quest memorabilia, which was my favorite show back in the day.
This sounds amazing.
It's basically the That's Weird podcast come to life. It's like our heaven. It's a magical place. So
someone take me there.
Please. Yeah, highly recommend. If you're ever in Portland, Maine, go to the Cryptozoology Museum. That's the guy that, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff in that field, but he's also the guy that came up with the name Montauk Monster.
Wow.
Anyway, as more and more reports about the Montauk Monster surfaced online, the speculation on what the creature could have been continued to grow. And here are some of the ideas that the internet came up with for what that thing possibly was. A turtle without a shell. Which is
what?
My favorite. A turtle without a shell because of the beak.
I guess I could see it, but like... Was he always born without a shell, just squiggling along in the world?
Maybe. And that's why he died. He didn't have any protection.
Oh, no.
Poor little guy. It could also be an abnormally large rodent. Sure. Ugh. Okay. Or a science experiment gone wrong from a nearby government animal testing facility. And I guess there is one near Montauk.
What?
And also, fuck that place.
Yikes.
Or it could be a diseased dog or coyote, much like the chupacabra.
Mm. Or it could be a chupacabra.
Or just a fucking chupacabra.
Have you ever thought of that one?
Internet? Do you ever fucking think about it? Other less fun people just claimed that it never actually existed. Like this was just a fake thing that someone created to cause a stir. And that's why it mysteriously disappeared. Mm. So that no one could actually test it and find out that there was no actual... matter or what, like, you know, like it wasn't a real thing. There was no blood or DNA or whatever.
Right, like it was plastic.
Yeah. However, since the Montauk Monster appeared on that beach, there have been several similar quote-unquote monsters that have popped up all over the world.
What?
Like the Panama creature, for example, which is what they named theirs. It actually looks identical to the Montauk Monster. And they thought theirs was like a dead sloth or something that lost all of its fur.
It did not look as cute as a sloth. Let me just...
Nothing is cute about that thing. It's so scary. And it's, I think it's pretty crazy that like New York and Panama can have creatures that are washed up on their shores that are very, very similar looking, and no one could know what the fuck it is. So a paleozoologist named Darren Naish, I don't know who this guy is, but he studied photographs of the Montauk Monster, and he concluded from the corpse's visible dentition. This is why I shouldn't copy and paste. I don't know what these words are. He studied photos of the creature, and from its like skull shape and front paws, he said that it was a raccoon. Like, he backed up the raccoon theory.
Oh.
In his opinion, he claimed its odd appearance was caused by decomposition and water removing most of the animal's hair.
Ugh.
But again, this couldn't be confirmed because the carcass disappeared. So
it was probably some kind of experiment and the government stole it back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. That's usually what happens. Let's be real.
That's all. I've seen a couple of episodes of The X-Files. Okay.
Look, I think I know about the government. I have seen at least two episodes.
I know exactly what the government is up to.
That's so true. But yeah, that's basically the Montauk Monster. It started in Montauk, though. Oh, okay. So while I was researching this, I came across my new favorite word, which I cannot believe I had never heard before this. Globster.
No.
So it's like lobster with a G. So the definition is, it's an unidentified organic mass that washes up on the shoreline of an ocean or another body of water. A globster is distinguished from a normal beached carcass by being hard to identify, at least by initial untrained observers, and by creating controversy to its identity. So the Montauk Monster and the Panama creature obviously considered globsters. How did we not know that was not a thing? You know what I mean?
That's a thing.
That's a thing.
It's a real thing. Like, everyone knows about it. Well, not everyone, clearly.
Everyone knows.
Like, everybody knows that there's a real word.
There's a word for this. It happens enough that they made a fucking word for it.
I love that.
Because also in my research, there was a bunch from like the 1800s, the early 1900s. A lot of them do end up being like, it's like a partial decaying whale carcass, but not in this instance. This is not a whale.
It's clearly not a whale.
No. But a lot of the ones that from back in the day, or it could be like a fucking, back when Megalodon was a thing, you know, like a giant Nessie sized creature from the ocean who died and is decaying and it washes up and it fucking looks weird. That's a globster.
Oh my God.
Anyway. I got really excited about it, obviously.
That was the best. That was the best explanation I've ever heard of a word.
Yeah. Thank you, Christy.
You're welcome.
Thank you. But yeah, that is, I guess, you know, it's kind of short, but that is the gist of the Montauk Monster. So the next time that a creepy creature washes up, it's technically a globster. But if it looks like the one from Montauk or Panama, then like that is its own thing in itself, because they look so much alike, so that has to be a similar creature. And again, I'll post these photos on thatsweird.org so you can check it out.
Yeah,
decide for yourself whether or not you think it's a raccoon.
I don't know if I believe raccoon.
It's kind of weird.
It's literally a horrifying animal, so
literally
I'm horrified by it.
But it does have like, it's kind of the size of raccoon, so I get that. And it has four legs and it has a tail.
It kind of looks like I don't know. There's a movie starring Dan Aykroyd called Coneheads. And at the end, he has to fight this scary monster, and he fights him by, like, golfing, and it chokes him. And that's what this monster looks like.
Just like that thing?
Just like a baby version of that.
Now, I know that I've seen Coneheads, like, as a child, but I don't remember the golfing or the monster, so clearly I need to rewatch that.
Yeah, that's a big spoiler, actually, so I'm sorry.
Oh my God, Christy.
I know.
Spoiler alert.
I figured it was out, like, from before I was born.
So you're good.
So maybe people would have had a chance to see it by now.
Yeah, at that point, I mean, spoilers don't even live, like, once it's been, like, a week. Like, once we get to a week where the new Game of Thrones episode has been out, then I think it's okay to talk about spoilers.
All bets are off.
Basically. You had a fucking week. Watch it, okay? I don't know what to tell you. This is the world we live in, so.
This is the world we live in. It's, maybe you don't have to like it.
It's horrifying. It's harsh.
But you have to live in it, so I don't know.
Exactly. Fucking wow. Deal with it.
Our life is almost as bad as the world of Game of Thrones.
Almost.
When we only have a week to catch up with spoilers. That's all I have to say.
Such a struggle.
Wow.
What are you going to talk about today?
I'm talking about Edgar Allan Poe and the way he died.
Did he die suspiciously?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that at all.
Edgar Allan Poe died in such a mysterious way that his death has its own Wikipedia page.
What the fuck?
It's going to be... Well, yeah. Everybody has their own theory. I don't know. This is an aside, but... there's evidence that Edgar Allan Poe may have been a time traveler, and I just feel like I have to point it out, even though it's not really relevant to his death. But let me tell you this really quick. He wrote a book called The Narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket, and it predicts a ship getting lost at sea in which a boy named Richard Parker gets cannibalized, and then 46 years later, a boy named Richard Parker gets cannibalized by some people lost at sea.
What the fuck?
There's a book that he wrote 8 years before Phineas Gage got a railroad spike in his head but lived, where that's the guy that basically everything we know about brain damage and the way it affects your personality is from that guy. And 8 years before that even happened, Edgar Allan Poe wrote a story about a guy who got brain damage as a child and how it affected his personality, and people who read it said he said the exact things that happen when you have brain damage in that way.
And that was before they knew all that stuff.
Yeah it was before anybody even started studying it.
So he was a time traveler, or maybe he was just fucking psychic.
Here's the craziest one. He wrote a 150-page prose poem, which sounds fucking exhausting, and nobody liked it. And they were like, this is just like crazy, like ravings of a lunatic. And also it's boring because it's 150 pages of a prose poem.
Jesus.
He basically proposes the Big Bang Theory, like, and he died in like 1840 something. And the Big Bang Theory was like being seriously debated like in the 1920s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So like several years before that. And he also said like the reason the night sky is dark is because light from the expanding universe hasn't reached our solar system yet. Which is a possible solution to a paradox that people didn't even start solving until the 80s.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I didn't know any of this about Edgar Allan Poe.
Also... He is also considered the father of the modern mystery novel, which not a lot of people think about because all of his spoopy stories.
Well, right, yeah.
So I like that part. Anyway, so he died mysteriously.
Okay.
Nobody really knows why. Part of it is because his physician, when he died, was kind of unreliable, I guess. So here's what happened. He left home on September 27th in 1849. He was supposed to be going to Philadelphia to like do an editing job or something. Nobody knows what happened to him for a week until he was found on October 3rd in Baltimore. He was delirious. He had some like really dirty, shabby clothes and like a straw hat, and it was clearly not his clothes and super out of character for him. And people took him to the hospital, and he pretty much died like a week later on October 7th. And during the time he was in the hospital, he was in this section that was like basically isolation. They kind of had like a section that was reserved for just like throwing drunk people in that hospital, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So they just had him in like a prison isolation for a week, and then he died. And at no point was he coherent enough to even tell people what happened to him for the week that he was missing.
What the fuck?
Right. So I guess maybe he did like time travel and then come back and then was like, whoops, something bad happened to me and now I died.
Yeah, he did it wrong, or he changed something that he wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, here are some theories. So one of them is that he was either he was real drunk or he was having withdrawal from not drinking. Because he had like, I don't know, he had some problems with drinking, but he also like kind of quit a little bit. He probably didn't die of a withdrawal from drinking, but it's hard to tell because actually after he died, he literally had like some kind of literary nemesis. Who like got, he published a big long obituary for him that was like, hey, this guy is dead, but good riddance, fuck this guy. and then he somehow got a control of his estate. So he like wrote his biography and made him seem like this, like the worst, like drunken, druggy, like shitty person. And everyone was like, I mean, it's a good biography though. So it sort of muddied the waters of like, is this the type of person he is? Or like, did he just do a bunch of drugs and like overdose and like die that way or what? And so like maybe most of the stuff that this guy said was like lies because it was literally his nemesis.
Right. Well, did anyone check to see if that guy killed him? Because.
Right. That's what I was thinking. There actually is a murder theory, but it has nothing to do with that guy. And I don't know why not.
That guy seems suspicious as hell.
I'm very suspicious. Although he also, like, right after he died, he had, like, a real quick funeral from his family and, like, seven people showed up. So, like, I don't know if he was really, like, that likable or that liked.
Right.
But we'll never know how much that other guy was lying because he was obviously lying because he just fucking hated him.
Wasn't his name, like, Bell or Tell or...
I can't remember. I should have written it down. It was something like Bigelow or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think.
I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
Well, you know what? We'll put it in the show notes because I don't have time to Google it. And I
can Google while you talk.
Yeah. I didn't do the right thing and actually write down who it was, who was his nemesis. I was just like, you know, it's a fun word.
This is a fun word.
So years later, like some people have done tests of his hair to see if he was had like lead poisoning or mercury poisoning or carbon monoxide poisoning.
Oh.
But he had elevated levels of like some heavy metals and mercury especially, but it wasn't enough to be like poisoning.
Like fatal.
Right. It could have also been like suicide by like poison. He could have poisoned himself. He, I guess, almost overdosed from laudanum. Which is like a sedative, I think, because he had depression. I'm not that surprised. It's Edgar Allan Poe. If you've ever read anything that he...
You're like, oh, yeah, like, of course.
No way. The guy that wrote a story about someone being sealed in a basement for being rude had depression?
No shit.
Wow.
Rufus Wilmot Griswold?
Griswold! That's who it was.
What a name.
Wow. Yeah, that guy... really hated him for some reason, and he did everything to like make him seem awful. He might have also been like beaten and robbed while he was drunk, and then just like maybe that fucked him up, or he got a brain injury, who knows.
True. Yeah.
The doctor at the time, they kind of don't think it's super reliable because he had him in isolation and like didn't really let anybody see him. And then he died, and the doctor said that it was maybe like, whatever the old-timey word for it was when you have like a hydroencephaly or meningitis, maybe. So oh. Maybe he just had like meningitis and went like, it got to him and got delirious, and then he died.
Huh.
Like a week before he left, his doctor was like, maybe you should just wait a couple days before you go traveling. And I guess he like, Edgar took his doctor's like sword cane instead of his own cane when he like left the doctor's house. So he was clearly pretty confused and he was just like, nah, it's fine. See ya. And the doctor's like, you're confused. Please stay. No. Okay. Bye.
Oh, so he already had some weird issues or something going on.
Yeah. Something was happening to him where he wasn't quite all there before he even left town. And also, though, at the time, there was a thing called cooping, where people would capture like an innocent bystander and they would make them commit voter fraud multiple times.
What the fuck?
Right? It's insane. So they would get a victim, they'd force them to drink alcohol and dress them up in different clothes. I cannot believe this worked. They dress them up in like different clothes and like fake mustaches and all that bullshit, and just had them, at the time, your ballot wasn't secret. You just kind of like walked by some dude and told him your name and told him who you're voting for and then left.
Right.
So they just like would make somebody drunk, dress them up in different outfits, and keep sending them to like vote multiple times for whoever candidate hired them. And like, if you didn't say the right thing, they'd beat you up, obviously, because they would know.
That's so bizarre.
It's pretty fucked up. He was found on election day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All delirious, drunk, beaten, in weird clothes. So
that makes a lot of sense, kind of.
It does. It makes a lot of sense, except the fact that, like, why did he... I mean, I guess you can die from getting, like, beaten. Like, maybe he had an internal injury, or, like, maybe they hit him in his head or something. But, like, I don't know. Like, why did he die, like, a week later when they just kind of did that to him on that day? But like, also maybe he just did die. The other option is rabies.
Oh,
because I guess he loved cats.
Well, who doesn't?
So the theory is that maybe like he left for his travel, or like before that even, he came in contact with a feral cat while he was trying to pet it or something, and just like died from rabies. Because I don't think they knew really very much about rabies, and that you could, and they certainly didn't have the thing where they give you a shot as soon as you get in contact with something that might have rabies.
Right, like back in the day. You still died from that.
They didn't have a lot of science. By the way, side note, I picked this because I had heard of the rabies thing, and besides also seeing somebody talk about it on Reddit recently, someone found a bat with rabies in Green Lake. In Seattle.
What the fuck?
So they're like, has anyone touched this bat? If anyone touched this bat, go to the doctor fucking immediately. If you ever encounter rabies, you won't die from it if you get a shot directly in your stomach. That's a vaccine against rabies, and you might not get it. But if you start showing signs, you'll almost certainly die from rabies. We don't have that good of a cure for it. It's a virus. You're gonna die, girl.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Why would they assume someone was touching that bat? Who's touching bats?
I know.
Was it injured until like he picked it up to help it, and then he found out that it had rabies? And also, how did he know that it had rabies?
Yeah, there's a bat that was like sick, and
someone tried died to help
and,
it,
and somebody picked it up and was like, "Yep, it's got rabies." Well, like if you brought your kid to the park and then they came back and were like, "Mom, I touched a bat."
Oh, God.
Then you got to get your kid a shot for rabies right now, or they going to die. Like Edgar Allan Poe.
That's such a Seattle thing to see a bat and be like, oh, I'm going to take it to the vet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, bats carry rabies. Lots of things carry rabies, especially cats. Edgar Allan Poe loved cats. Here's an important note about him. He had a cat named Katarina.
Katarina?
The beginning spelled C-A-T, obviously. And I love that. Apparently the cat that he had died a week after he died.
Oh.
It like could, the thing that I read was like, it couldn't live without him. But like, if he had rabies, then he gave the cat rabies and the cat also died probably.
Humans can give animals rabies?
I don't know. Maybe.
Interesting.
I'm not sure how rabies gets. Let me just admit this. I don't know how rabies works, but if you touch anything with rabies, you got to get a shot or you're going to die.
Dr. Christie, please.
That's my prescription.
Please, I want that to be like your tagline from now on. And that's my prescription.
That's my prescription. Great. I'm about to write my self-help book called If You Touch a Bat, You Gonna Die.
You gonna die. You gonna die, and here's why, from Christy.
Oh, man. Tell me about it. I could write that book.
I can't wait.
So here's where the rabies theory comes from. There was a conference, like a medical conference in the 90s, and some cardiologists, they just handed out these like hypothetical patients for funsies to like prescribe things, and one guy got a hypothetical patient named EP, who was a writer from Richmond. And the doctor was like, oh, this guy's clearly got rabies. Like, they just gave the symptoms that happened to Edgar Allan Poe.
Because
they just gave the symptoms that his doctor at the time reported him having before he died. And then this doctor, not knowing it was even him in the future, was like, well, this guy's absolutely got rabies. Like, it's clear. It's very obvious. And everyone's like, oh, because that other guy wrote a biography making him seem like some crazy drug addict. Like, probably a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, he's obviously, like, high on something and then, like, died.
Classic Edgar.
But actually, it could have been rabies. The only thing is, he didn't seem like he was drinking water up till the day he died. And when you have rabies, you are actually afraid of water. Like, you won't drink it.
Oh.
It's like a symptom.
Well, I was all on board with the rabies thing.
Until that one?
Everything you tell me, I decide. Like, at first I was like, oh, that guy murdered him. And then I was clearly. Like, oh, it was the voting thing. And then yeah. I was like, oh, no, it's rabies. And then you're like, oh, but he was rabies. Drinking water. And so now I have no idea.
Here's the least popular theory, but an interesting one. He was engaged to marry a rich lady named Elmira Shelton. And later the author John Evangelist Walsh wrote a book about Edgar Allan Poe's death that suggested that her brothers, he ambushed him on his way to Philadelphia and warned him off marrying her. And then he like changed his clothes into whatever he was wearing when he died and hid out in Philadelphia for a week and then started coming home. And they ambushed him in Baltimore and beat him and forced him to drink with whiskey, which, like, according to the author of this book, would make him sick.
Interesting.
And killed him. And that was the murder.
Whiskey makes me sick and feels like I'm gonna die. So yeah.
So there you go.
I believe it.
So that's how he was murdered. Which I feel like he really should have come up with something more plausible, like having his arch nemesis.
Right.
Murder him.
Sabotage.
The other things are he might have had a brain tumor or a flu. He even like made it to, he was in Philadelphia when there was like a cholera outbreak and like wrote his mom how sick he was or something. And well, I guess he didn't write his mom because like all of his moms died. He had a mom who died when he was little.
His mom's died.
And then he got a foster mom and who also died.
Aww.
So nobody was alive for that. But so yeah, he was either really sick with something that makes you delirious and they don't have science back in the 1840s.
Right.
Or he took drugs or he was drugged or I don't know, maybe he had rabies.
Interesting. Okay. So is there one that you're leaning towards the most?
I used to think that the rabies one was the right one, but I don't know anymore.
Well, the water thing.
The water thing kind of makes it seem like maybe not.
But who knows how reliable that is.
Right.
Like, who said he was drinking water? Like, how long ago was this? Like, was it the doctor? Was it his family? Like,
well, and the doctor is not reliable because he was kind of a piece of shit that, like, isolated him.
Right.
And also the doctor, like, Edgar Allan Poe was famous even at the time. So after he died, the doctor, like, toured around and like did lectures and stuff and was like, oh, when I was taking care of Edgar Allan Poe right before he died, and like his story changed all the time.
Oh god.
Just like little things, like before he wrote that he came to him at some time during the day, and then like then he was talking about it and was like, yeah, like I don't know, around like 10 a.m and they're like, okay, but you wrote 3 p.m here, so what happened?
Also, how are you gonna brag about being the doctor of a guy who died from like a mysterious thing that you clearly
couldn't figure it out?
Yeah, so like what are you bragging about?
I don't know exactly.
That's fucking weird. I don't know, I kind of like the voting thing. Like, maybe it was just a totally random occurrence.
I like the voting thing too because it's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
And I think people underestimate how fragile people are and how easily you can die from getting beat up.
Like, if he was just sort of sick from like something unrelated, like, you know,
yeah,
maybe withdrawal or whatever from not drinking anymore. Who knows? Back then people got sick from all kinds of shit. So like maybe he was just like kind of sick, shouldn't have been traveling. And then the wrong people found him and they beat him up. And then he had a head injury and like a, he was just like had the flu or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then all of that together, he died. It could have just been totally random.
Could have been all of it.
The only reason I like that theory so much is because it was on voting day or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was in like a random town.
They found him in the city on voting day after he had been missing basically for a week.
Exactly.
And the whole thing that they do is capture people and like it's called cooping because you keep them cooped up.
Right.
Until it's time to make them vote. Over and over again.
That's such a bizarre thing, but yeah, I mean that kind of makes sense in a fucked up like random way.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I never knew all of this stuff about how he died. I guess I know very little about him when he was alive.
Yeah, I don't know like a whole heck of a lot about Edgar Allan Poe. I didn't even know what time period he was actually alive during, or that he was American.
Oh, yeah, I guess I never thought about that.
You just think of it as, like, a vague time period that is, like, Victorian era and, like, telling spooky gothic stories and, like, maybe being in, like, a spooky gothic home in England with a raven or something.
Exactly.
But that's actually,
also what I pictured.
It's, like, a dude from, like, Virginia just...
Doing.
I don't know, saying spooky things.
Right.
I don't read a lot of Edgar Allan Poe. I prefer to hear his stories via Wikipedia-ing the summary.
You're like, okay, cool. Yeah, what happened in this?
That's what happened. Because nice. It's like the stories are really good, but the writing is like too old for me. I'd rather it be more simplified and like move along. So
Poe for the modern age.
It's called Wikipediaing things and finding out what happened in that story, so you don't have to read an entire book.
Great, I love it.
So that's my bit of apparently I'm an anti-intellectual. Sorry.
You learn so much about yourself when you do a podcast.
Sorry if you like Edgar Allan Poe. I do think his stories are neat. I don't think I've tried reading enough of him that I can actually definitively say that I don't like it, but like I probably don't.
Well, yeah, this made me want to go maybe read something else that either that he's done or that guy wrote about him.
I know.
Just for shits and giggles.
The only thing I've actually read all the way through besides that Raven thing that you have to read.
Right.
Is the one about the guy that gets trapped in a wine cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very European sounding story. It's literally in like Italy or something, and somebody goes into a catacomb underneath their house. You know what it is? It's probably an American thinking about things being European and assuming that all Europeans have like catacombs under their houses.
100%.
So I guess it does make sense that he's American.
You just gotta talk yourself through it sometimes. And you're like, oh, wait, no, that makes total sense.
Wow. Sorry, guys. Breakthrough.
I was waiting for you to say that they, like, found, like, someone cut out his heart or something.
Like, put it under some floorboards?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be super on brand for him.
Oh.
But.
I mean, it is a mystery, and it is horrible, and he did die in basically a jail cell, so.
Right.
That's pretty on brand. It's as on brand as a real-life death that you can get, probably.
True. And it's a mystery that we'll never probably know the real answer to.
Which is very on brand.
Yeah. That's cool. That was a good one, Christy.
Thanks. I like that one.
Yeah. What is there to post in like show notes for that?
I guess I can probably show you what his face looks like, even though everybody already knows.
Like I have like a picture in my head.
I have a lot of I'll post the article that I got all the like he's a time traveler stuff from.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a really good article that goes like thing by thing and explains all the reasons why people think that he died the way he did.
Okay.
And I bet I'll have to dig, but I bet I could find like a link to that guy's long obituary about how he hated him. So he's glad he died.
Right.
I'm sure that's somewhere.
I definitely
think that'll be
wanna
a good
read
one.
That. Yeah. I want to read that for sure. Cool. Well, yeah, we'll post all that stuff at thatsweird.org.
Yeah.
And right. That's it, right? You got anything else?
Nah.
Cool. We weirded. That's not a thing.
No.
We were weird and now we're done.
Yay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.